Well, good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be in person here. It was strange the past few weeks watching church or participating in church from home online. But thank you to Michael for preaching the Word of God beautifully. And for everyone, again, everyone who helps out behind the scenes here. And just thank you to the whole congregation, all of you, for all of your love and your prayers and your cards and your blessings, and all the ways that you have just supported my family, my sister's family, as we grieved mom's death and celebrated her homegoing to be with the Lord. You guys are just awesome. Really, you guys are so wonderful. Thank you for everything that you do and everything that you are. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to hear from him, from his word. Father God, we thank you for your great love and mercy to us, that you have sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross in our place, that by your grace, when we believe in Jesus, our sins are washed away, we are saved, we are made born again by you. You graft us into your family. Our names are written in the book of life, which means for all eternity we are with you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word, beautiful word that you have given to us. I pray that you would bring it to life through your Holy Spirit working within us as we read it or think on it or hear it, Father, that your word would instruct us, show us the ways in which to walk, would comfort us, O Lord God. Lord, I pray especially for all of us who have gathered here and online, that you would comfort the brokenhearted, that those who are struggling for whatever reason, Lord. And when it feels like you're far away, Lord, would you please today come in your mercy and your love and comfort and bless your people, O Lord God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We will have, counting this one, two more sermons on the book of Galatians. When we wrap that up, then we'll be entering into Holy Week. It'll be Palm Sunday, the 28th, I believe, March 28th. We begin a Holy Week, so I'm looking forward to Easter, and I mean that in many ways. I think yes, Easter can be a lovely day and a lovely time. This has been a season. This is the season in the church calendar called Lent. Right? It's the 40 days leading up to Easter, not counting the Sundays. It's a time of mourning, right? It's a time for us as Christians around the world to pause and to reflect on Jesus dying for us. And so there's worship and gratitude, but there's also a time for us to enter into mourning and thinking of the cost, thinking of our sins that sent Jesus to the cross, and so that we can then on Easter morning celebrate that he is risen. He is risen indeed. I always think the most profound reversal in emotions, I guess, on those 3 days from Good Friday, or for us often celebrating the Tenebrae service on Thursday night, to Sunday morning, right? The lowest low to the highest high possible. And I think for many people, I want to say everyone, but in ways we don't even know, we've been in a protracted, a prolonged series of mourning with the pandemic and the political divides and everything going on. I know we've sort of all adjusted, we think, and we've kind of are learning how to operate in this current manifestation of stage 3, part 4, alpha, zeta, whatever we are, from the official status here in Massachusetts. But it's a grief. There's a grieving that goes with what we've lost that I think most of us won't even know about, won't even be able to quantify, won't even be able to really articulate very well. Then there'll also be a transition when whatever happens, if it happens, you know, if we ever go back, the transition from, you know, spending 6 hours of school day in front of a computer in your room or the dining room table to now going into a classroom every day, or from working at home and kind of having your own loneliness, but now being in an office environment, or whatever it will be, there'll be transitions. And so I think of that, what a wonderful way for us to come into Easter, thinking of our grieving, but then looking forward to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A done deal, a historical fact, which we have the foretaste of, but also it helps me to look forward to heaven, right? When all of this, there's no pandemics in heaven, right? There's no divide, there's no sin, there's no sorrow, there's no death, there's no crying, there's no pain, there's no suffering. There's just eternity with Jesus, and we get to celebrate that in a really special way on Easter. And so I'm really looking forward to that. Paul, in the book of Galatians, has been calling the church to hold firm to the gospel, to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not go back or distort it into a way of saying, I'm going to be a slave to the law. We have to be keepers of the law in order to be saved. Now, in his closing remarks here, he's going to again, as he has been throughout the whole book, kind of point out two ways to live. But now it's not going to be, here's the two ways to live in order to be saved. He's going to say, really speaking to Christians now, and saying, for you who are in Christ, for you who are under the promise by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, how should you walk? How shall we live? And he's going to use an illustration, a reference point that will be very, very common to many of the people that he was writing to. Mike was joking earlier, saying, well, this reference point may not be as familiar to us, but I think we do know it pretty well. And that's sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. He's going to speak of this principle, this reality that God has worked into the world of sowing and reaping. You sow seeds, flowers, plants, whatever it is, right? And then if you sow pumpkin seeds, and you sow them well, and you sow them abundantly, pumpkins are a bad example. We had a bad experience with pumpkins. They never came out. The plants did, but the pumpkins never came out. That's a bad one. Tomatoes. If you sow tomato seeds, and you sow them well, and you sow them abundantly, you reap wonderful tomatoes. And if you don't like tomatoes, it's only because you've eaten store-bought tomatoes. You haven't eaten fresh, warm tomatoes in the August sun. It's my contention, at least. Boys. Hey, guess what? I'm getting distracted thinking about tomatoes. That's, anyway, so, but That's the basic principle, okay? If I don't sow tomato seeds, I don't reap tomatoes. If I sow petunia seeds, I don't reap tomatoes. That's how God made the world. That's the way of it there in the natural world. And Paul's going to use that as a reference point for living the Christian life, for how we then should live as people under the promise. Because as he's been talking, he's saying, look, don't look to the law, the Old Testament law, as a way of being saved. Instead, trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And as we've alluded to throughout this series, if you stop there, you potentially could come away with the thought that, oh, how I live doesn't matter to God. What I do is irrelevant. Why? Because I'm saved. Because I trusted Jesus for my salvation. Therefore, I'm not following any laws at all. I'm free in Christ. Therefore, the way I live, my behavior, my actions, my words, they don't matter. And that's not correct. That's not actually true. Please follow along in the book of Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, and we'll read through verse 10. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is God's word. Sowing and reaping. He lays that out in words here in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So we're not tricking God. Okay? God is serious. Well, this is how serious God is about the way we live. Right? To say and to live however we think we want to, even though we say we are saved by trusting in Jesus, by coming to him by faith, that if we do not follow God's word and live as God has willed us to, it's mocking. And we're actually deceiving ourselves. And it's a strange thing. I think it's strange about us, all of us, humans. Our ability to deceive ourselves is so profound, so big, how we are able to deceive ourselves. And right now, we're probably all thinking about, yes, that person over there really does deceive themselves. They really think that, whatever, they're a good singer, or they're, you know, brilliant, or they know, whatever. But boy, they're wrong. They're not like me. It's one of the beautiful things about being in very close relationships. A marriage relationship or a deep friendship relationship is that ones who love us can help us to see who we are. To affirm the good in ways we maybe don't even recognize in ourselves, and to highlight the things that are weaknesses and things that may need to change within us, that really we end up becoming very, very blind to. I think there's many things that we do that we are deceiving ourselves of, We think we're good Christians and we're living a Christian life, and then someone else may kind of come in and say, well, that's not what. I think that's really profound, again, and I know I keep talking about it, but with our whole political divide, and I'm talking among Christians, the political divide, not in the world, and all the fighting we have going on about masks or no masks, and not you know, earnest discussions or humble sacrifice, but real fights about this, real insistences on my way is the right way. And folks, I really think a lot of non-Christians are watching us going, why are these Christians fighting amongst themselves? I had a dear conversation about a month ago or so with a non-believing husband and wife who are my generation or so. And again, they're not believers. And you know, we started talking. It was actually the most civil political conversation I think I've ever had. It was very open, and differing points of views were discussed with respect and love and all that. And making mention of some of this divide, and I just ventured forth to say to them, as a Christian, I'm really ashamed that a lot of this infighting is coming from my people. And their reaction was just interesting. They were like, kind of like, yeah, you know, didn't want to say that, but yeah, that's really what it seems like, you know. But I was willing to go there and confess, you know, essentially, the divide. They like that's what we see. We see Christians fighting against each other here, and I think that we're blind to the fact that we're deceiving ourselves. That Jesus doesn't want us to do that. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus isn't. You know, angry and yelling at us if we have different political views or different views on subjects. I'm not saying things are unimportant. I know they're important, and that's why we get so exercised about them. But I would much, personally, I would much rather be wrong and be wronged and maintain a humble love with my sisters and brothers than exert my rightness over anything. I think Jesus is calling us to something that we sometimes are just blind to see. We're blind to seeing. Sowing and reaping. So God has worked this into nature, and he's calling that out here for our life with God also. And I hope we can walk this, really understand what he's saying here, so there's error can lie all around what God is saying here. Sowing and reaping. He gives three kind of examples, three areas of life now where this principle, God says, is at work. Sowing and reaping. First, in verse 6, it's sowing and reaping in Christian ministry. This is a very hard, this one verse is very hard for me to even talk about because I'm paid by you all wonderfully. Thank you so much. Like, we don't have to spend much time on this one, I think, because you guys do this so wonderfully. your giving spirit is so wonderful. And Paul is saying that we support Christians who have taken on as a job ministry, missionaries and pastors and, you know, other positions within the Christian church and Christian community, and when a person sows their life into ministry, then the people of God sow back into their life, and so both are reaping and sowing as God intends it to be. That there is a reaping and sowing, a mutual love. God has always ordered his people this way, even the nation of Israel. Extra thirsty today, sorry. In this way. And so even in this way of Christian ministry, there is a sowing and reaping that God has. That it is my prayer that through this means here on Sunday morning of the avenue of preaching, that God sows his seed of his word into all of us, and that we reap the blessings of his word at work within us here, and that we all, myself also, right, that we give of our finances and give of our time and give of our thoughts and give of our work of our hands, we sow that into God's people, God's kingdom, God's ministries. We individually then reap the blessings from that, and they expand, and others reap the blessing from that also. Sowing and reaping in Christian ministry. Paul goes on to talk about sowing in holiness. Verses 7 through 8 here. Sowing and reaping in holiness. I already read verse 7. Let me focus on verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Yes, it matters about our holiness. God cares about our holiness and our growth in holiness. And I think as American Christians, we've forgotten. We leave a lot of this behind. I think we focus so much, rightly so, on conversion. And once you're converted, we say, all right, go to church, and now let's focus on everything else, right? Someone else. That the transformation after conversion, or as the church historically calls it, sanctification, holiness, growing in holiness, isn't something we tend to think a whole lot about. You're kind of expected, once you're saved, to behave a certain way that's acceptable. You're supposed to behave a certain way in which, you know, you see other church members here behaving, but that's just kind of surface level, and that's all we really focus on. But God says here, look, if you sow to the flesh, your sinful nature, remember that's Paul uses that word flesh, that even a believer, it's their sinful nature still in a believer, that you'll reap corruption, death, decay. But if you sow to this Holy Spirit, you will reap, he says, eternal life. So what is sowing to the Spirit? Sowing to the Spirit is a similar idea that Paul uses, was really used throughout the New Testament. It's walking in the Spirit. It's walking by the Spirit. It's following the Holy Spirit as he guides us and brings all truth from God's word, from Jesus' words, to our minds and to our lives. It's submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit at work in every believer. It's by the Holy Spirit reading God's word, seeing God's word, and then not being like the man mentioned in the book of James, who looks at his reflection in a mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like, but we read the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and then we go and we put it in practice, and we allow the Holy Spirit to shape our hearts and our minds. That the things that are sinful within us, God works to remove and to replace them with his thoughts, his character, right? Paul had just gone through and said what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's character traits that are developed within us as we grow in holiness. What are the ways that we sow to the flesh and so reap corruption? Well, that's when we decide that what God is saying really doesn't matter. And here's where I think we deceive ourselves. It's when we spend a lot of time, either consciously, or I think 90% of the time, subconsciously, listening to the words of Satan that he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say that you shouldn't be looking at pornographic. Really say that? Really say to jealous of someone else and to look at someone else's life or possessions and feel envy and feel coveting? Is it really okay to ignore God? Do you really have to go and worship Him every week? Does He really, really mean it when He says that His Word is life to us? I mean, I know it says that, right? I know it says David loves God's Word and stores it up in his heart day and night, meditates on it all the time. That sounds good for David, but God doesn't really want us to be in His Scriptures that way, does He? Does God really want me to love my neighbor and to go and talk and tell people about how wonderful He is? Because it's really hard and uncomfortable, and you know, they see me sometimes how I live on other days of the week, and maybe I'm really not commending Christ to them so much. And we sow to the flesh when we decide, well, everybody sins, so what's the big deal? So what if I, you know, lie at work to get out of trouble, which never works? So what if I cheat on the exam a little bit? So what if I copy someone else's work? Like, everybody does it, right? So what if I speed when I'm driving in the car? Oh, man. Everybody does it. It's really a big deal. And God's saying, look, don't sow. Don't go, oh, no big deal, and so therefore take those steps towards the things of the flesh that corrupt our hearts. Instead, sow things to the Spirit. Move in the direction of the Spirit. Meditate on the direction of the Spirit. I think the fruit of the Spirit is a great place to start, right? Go back and read the fruit of the Spirit. Here's an idea. How about this week, we read through the fruit of the Spirit, this is chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and we just take one fruit a day. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And let's Monday, tomorrow, let's ask the Lord to show us how to love in action, but also to create deeper love in our hearts for one another and for other people. And then on Tuesday, let's do joy. Lord, give me joy. Boy, God, I'm having an awful day and an awful week and an awful year. Lord, I don't have joy. And so I'm not trying to fake it, God. But Lord, would you please give me your joy? Give me the joy of the Lord this day. Grow my heart in joy. And so on. Let's just take one fruit of the day. Because these are sowing seeds to the Spirit, committing ourselves in prayer to walking according to the Spirit. Third and final example he gives of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping in Christian action. Now this, the second and third ones here, they overlap. But I believe that our sowing to the Spirit, which reaps us growing holiness in our lives, is the foundation for sowing Christian action and reaping the blessing he'll describe here, right? So it's our heart that drives our actions. Okay? So in verses 9 and 10, he said, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith," Christians. Everyone, but especially to Christians. Don't stop doing good. So many folks are weary. Think of our healthcare workers, right? And what they have gone through in this season here, right? Think of folks who live alone and what you go through in this season here. And in every one of us are weary. And so the temptation could be to say, you know what, I'm just too tired to have my actions be good. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines. And there is time for rest. That's one of our big in our weariness is that we ignore God's wonderful gift to us of the Sabbath. It's a big part. We're just running so fast that we have completely forgotten Sabbath, which is just crazy, right? Just as an aside, right? I mean, I know we fight it when we're kids, but like, if someone in authority over the whole world came to you on a Tuesday afternoon and said, "Take a nap. Just take a nap. You're not supposed to do anything for the next 4 hours. Nothing." You'd be like, "Oh my goodness, that's fantastic. Thank you so much." God gives us the whole day to rest, and we say, "Thanks God, okay, yep, I'm going to rest now. Keep running, keep doing, keep going." All right. Anyways, that contributes to our weariness. And our weariness can lead us to possibly be too tired to do good. And so Paul is exhorting us. He's commanding us, but inviting us to not give up doing good, to not give up taking the fruit of the Spirit that is working within our hearts when we sow to the Spirit, and have that come out of us. Have the fruit come out. That's a disgusting image. I'm sorry. But to have that lived out, right? So the fruit of the Spirit is peace. As we go about this week, we'll see someone who does not have peace, either with Jesus or in their relationships or in their day and in their moment. Lord, how can we now sow peace into that person's life? I can take the actions of what you do in my heart and have that come out and bless somebody. That I can sow into their life blessing, joy, help. Who are we going to see this week who has a need? And it's a need that we can meet. And it might be inconvenient, but he invites us to take what God says and to put that into action. What he calls us to do, because it matters. It matters. How we live matters. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. To live our lives as Christ does. To have our actions be as Christ does. How can we make it so that this week our words don't tear down, but our words build up? Because that matters to God. Sowing and reaping. Now, just as we close, I was not saying here that you get what you deserve. He is not saying here this is how you can manipulate God. He is not saying here, if you look at your life and you see certain types of blessings that are of value to you, it's not because you necessarily did all the right things and the person who doesn't have those didn't do the right things. We see this a lot in, well, in again, I think we're deceived self-deceived at how prevalent this type of thinking is within us. We see it with the disciples in one example, when Jesus comes and there's a blind man and Jesus heals him. And the disciples ask the question that I think we all ask, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because clearly he's not being blessed by the Lord, and so he's blind. So there's something sinful that he must have done. This is Job's friends. Kind of questions in a way, saying, look, you're suffering, and obviously we suffer because you've sinned. And if you hadn't sinned, then you'd be blessed with health and with money and with good relationships and all these things. And God continually says, no, that's not the way it works. Sometimes, but God powerfully brings about the exceptions, like the man born blind. He said, no. Jesus said, no. This man didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. I mean, of course, we all sin, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying, this isn't a punishment for sin. This happened so that you would see the glory of God as he is healed, which I know brings a whole lot of other questions, like, wow, thanks. Is that really a great exchange? I don't know. But God's ways are not our ways. There's not a quid pro quo. Okay, but he is saying, if we, as saved by grace Christians, people, that's the same thing, those are synonyms, saved by grace, Christian, same thing. If we sow according to the Spirit, then we will reap blessing, goodness, and he says, eternal life. So this week, dear brothers and sisters, let us sow to the Holy Spirit. Let us focus, again, tomorrow, love. Let's call each other and text each other and email each other. And when we see each other, let's just talk, you know, through a mask. Let's just focus on love. Let's think about love tomorrow, right? And how the Lord can have us put that into action. Let us sow to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your love for us, that you showed us love when Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus spent his whole life walking in the Spirit. Lord, would you please enable us by your Spirit to sow our lives according to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Would you shape and form within each one of us, Lord, more and more who you are. And then may our actions flow out of that our actions reflect who you are. Bless your dear people here, Lord God. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.